Family had to abandon their pet cat in Lucan a couple of weeks ago because they were made homeless. And with many landlords not allowing families to take pets, more and more people are being forced to give their one up. So in the studio now to talk about what people can do is DSPCA's Gillian Bird and Holly Carpenter, who's the owner of two rescue dogs. I might as well start with you, Gillian, because what happened in Lucan is it is not, I presume, a one-off case. It's just an example of what's going on.
It is, absolutely. Now, the thing that made this case quite unique was the fact that we actually got the letter about the cat. Most of the animals that are abandoned that we end up taking in, we've no idea the animal's name, the age, or anything about it. In this particular case, the people had gone to the effort. Now, we're not condoning the abandonment, but at least we had a note. It was told us that the cat was fully vaccinated. It told us the animal's name, its age, its likes, its dislikes. And that's really, really important when it comes to us then being able to find a home for the animal. It makes life much easier for us.
And like, if it's a dog, if it's tagged and all that kind of thing. Actually, can I ask, can cats be tagged?
They can be microchipped, and you
microchipped,
can put and it's actually really important to microchip your cat, because if they go missing, you know, when you go to a shelter, people will ring you up and say, black and white cat, I've lost my black and white cat, and we could have 15 black and white cats. So a microchip means
and you can share like homes and narrow it down.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the details will come up and you'll be able to say, there's your cat.
Right, very good indeed. Now, Holly, what about you? You have what? Two rescue dogs. Well, you had a dog who died, you were saying, after 17 years.
I got Molly for my 7th birthday, and she was literally my best friend. So luckily for you, I'm not going to make you awkward. I'm at a stage now where I can talk better without crying. But no, she was the best. And then I got Gus about 5 years ago, and we don't really know what he was. He was found in a bag with his dead brothers and sisters. He was the only one alive. And then Toby is only about 2 now, and he's a rescue pet as well. And they're all quite badly treated, but they're really well behaved, as in they're friendly and they'd never bite me or anything, but they are a bit mad as well.
Okay, but when you say got, did you got them off a Gillian type place?
Yeah,
I mean, well, DSPCA.
Yeah, I actually went to the Dogs Trust for my last two, and Molly came from a woman who rescued dogs. She had her own little thing going. But we went to the Dogs Trust, and I think Molly was kind of quite sick, and it was only Molly and Gus, and we knew that Gus would be left on his own, and he'd never been on his own. So we kind of got Toby before, so that Gus wouldn't think that Toby was replacing Molly.
All right, okay.
I know.
God, the things
the
you
drama.
Have to think of. So I just want to take a look at one specific thing about this, Gillian, and that is just looking about how to rent and how to live, etc., because of this thing that I mentioned earlier on in terms of Lucan. Housing problems, that is one of the main reasons that pets get given to shelters.
It is one of the main reasons that we certainly get animals into the DSPCA, or people ring us up looking for advice. It could be because they are moving accommodation and the new landlord won't let them take the animal. It could be a situation where they already have an animal, the landlord has said yes, but then the landlord changes their mind. We've had situations where the landlord has said yes, but the management company has said no, which can also be an issue. And it, you know, animals can cause problems. And you have to understand, and I do fully understand, that it is a financial risk when a landlord allows an animal to come into their home.
Yeah.
Because of the damage that can be done. So it is kind of understandable, but there are ways around it. I do think that we can work around it.
Okay, well, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of preparation I think you could probably do, and just everybody just could sit down around a table almost and just talk about it. First of all, when you're looking for somewhere to rent or whatever, should you look for something in a lease that says pets welcome or even no pets allowed?
Oh, absolutely, you should. I mean, you have to assume that it's a no pets allowed, but if you've found the right accommodation, and same thing for the landlord, they have found the right tenant, you know, perhaps the situation of offering a larger deposit would help, because that will cover any financial, you know, risk to the landlord. So if you sort of say to the landlord, look, I'll give you an extra month's deposit, and that'll cover all damages. I know there are landlords out there who actually have separate contracts for the pets. Like there's somebody I know has a contract for their cats and a contract for
which
their
makes
dogs.
Sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it is only really financial that is what the problem with the landlords.
Really? Okay, well, hold on a second. Like, you give yourself plenty of time. You've got to be flexible, I presume. Maybe offer a higher deposit, as you mentioned as well. And just basically reassure a landlord, if you like, that stuff is going to be covered.
Yes.
That's one of the. Okay,
absolutely.
Now, what about doing things? I'm talking dog most of the time here, but like, how do you get to stop your dog barking? Can you do that? Can you stop the dog jumping up on people? Can you get over, if you like, and I know I'm talking about almost like a kid here, some kind of a separation anxiety thing? Can you work on all of those before you start renting a place?
They can all be dealt with training, all down to training. The jumping up is a simple thing that you can very easily teach your dog not to do. Then you've got the situation with the barking. The barking can be a dog that is bored. So by leaving a dog alone during the day, you are going to end up with an animal that can be very, very bored and can develop bad behavioural issues. So, you know, look at situations of getting somebody in to walk the dog, leave them in doggy daycare, situations like that, and find ways of entertaining the animal so they're not left alone during the day. And generally, most of it can be dealt with spending time and effort in caring for the animal.
I find it difficult, though, to have the idea of a dog and leaving it all day, every day, 9 to 5. I mean, Holly, have you ever left your dog every day for a week, a year?
No, I couldn't. Well, like,
you can't.
And when my parents go away, we actually put the dogs into kennels because they know that I could be out all day or at a job all day and then going straight out to something in the evening. And it's just not fair. Like, you know, and like you said, like, anytime we have left them, they're both well behaved, but we'll come back and they will have done a wee or they will have chewed a door or something, because they're almost rebelling because they're not happy.
Absolutely, exactly it.
And have you ever, like, have you left dogs behind to the point where they that you've trained them to be able to do that kind of thing? Because obviously you have to leave sometimes. Or do they get worried? Do they have anxiety issues when you come back? Is it a problem?
Well, Molly...
I mean, have you ever tried to rent a place with them?
No, actually. But, well, when we had Molly, she was very afraid of everything and she was on her own. She probably was treated the worst out of all of them and she used to wreck the place. And there was nothing we could do, especially at Halloween when there was bangers and everything. We had to put her on all sorts of, like, doggy tranquilizers and everything. And I hated seeing her like that. But then once we got Gus, the minute she had a bit of company, she was, you know, and then in her older age she got a bit deaf, so, you know, ignorance is bliss for her at that stage. She was sleeping much better and everything, but I wouldn't have a clue really how to train my dogs, because Toby goes mental every time someone comes to the door, and we don't want him to not bark if he sees someone outside, because you know, but also it's too much if kids come in and he's jumping on them.
Absolutely.
And by the way, why did you decide to get a rescue dog? Did you decide that the best place somebody could get a dog is to go to somewhere like Gillian's place, like a DSPCA, that is really what people should do?
I never even considered buying a dog. It just seems, I think it's...
Like a purebred. No?
Yeah, no, I mean, there are obviously some gorgeous purebreds that I'd like. I love pugs, I like little chihuahuas and stuff, but I think it's very well publicised at this stage that we kill so many dogs every year because we have to, because there's so many around, you know, being abandoned and all of that, and I think I'd just feel a bit guilty. Right. And especially the minute you go to the dogs trust and you see them all there, you just want to take them all home, you know, anywhere like that.
That's it, especially if you bring a 9-year-old with you or something like that. By the way, we're talking to Gillian Bird from the DSPCA and Holly Carpenter as well, and 51552 is our text at 9 minutes to 10 o'clock on this Saturday morning. Now, back to you with this one, Gillian, because I want to talk about this again. Would you get some kind of a proof that your dog, I don't know why I keep talking dogs, but I go to cats and other things in a second, that your dog has completed a training class or something? Like, get a piece of paper. Like, would you get a vet letter up to date saying, yes, this has happened? All of these things ready for the landlord?
You can do, absolutely. I mean, if
can
your dog,
do or should do?
You should do, but it's not compulsory, because, you know, just because your dog has completed a dog training class and has a certificate doesn't mean that the dog, is if it's left alone, isn't going to chew or damage.
Should you bring the dog with you to the landlord to let him meet the dog?
I think you've got to, first of all, find a landlord who's willing to talk to you about the issue of having a dog. And I think then it's really important that part of your contract should allow that if you do move into the accommodation, that you will keep the dog and you will keep it under control, same as if you have children or, you know, this sort of thing. And I think landlords also need to understand that they're missing out a huge amount on really good tenants by not opening it up for pet lovers, because at the end of the day, a person who has animals is possibly less likely to have the mad parties and cause serious damage in the property. So you could be left with a better tenant who has animals, with a small risk that the dog might scratch the door or might have an accident on the carpet, compared to somebody who might have mad parties and trash the place or let the bath overflow. So, you know, it's a bit of swings and roundabouts really with things, but I think people should be open to discussions.
Okay, do you think that the 10% of dogs who really are unruly kind of spoil it for the other 90%?
I think they probably do. And I think you've also got the situation, the people who leave the dogs outside in the back garden all day long and are barking and driving the neighbours mad can also be part of the issue. People just have these phobias and fears about, oh, I let somebody have a dog in one time, or the boyfriend brought the dog in, or the friends brought the dog in just for a weekend and it wrecked the place. So,
do you know, if the lease doesn't mention pets, is that cool then? It's open season, you can bring a pet in?
No, I don't think so, because
it doesn't say anything here about me not bringing any
dog. That is very true, but you see, it will say any changes of circumstances is usually what they say in the contracts. And what you don't want to do is to say,
there's no change of circumstances, because I never told them about a dog in the first place.
Well, that's true, but I mean, if you're a family without children, do you have to notify your landlord that you're going to have a baby?
Right.
There's another question as well. So is it change of circumstances? But I mean, what you don't want to happen is you don't want somebody living in accommodation, thinking it's fine, thinking it doesn't say no animals on the contract.
Yeah.
And then what they end up doing is getting an animal and they're told to get rid of it.
All right.
But there's lots of things not mentioned on the contracts.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure. The one I want to mention here, 51552, it says, it's from Ali. Me and my partner had a dog for years, but made the painful and difficult decision to give it away at the end of the summer, as our working days were getting longer and longer, and it just wasn't fair leaving her there all day on her own. You should only have a dog if you are there to look after them.
That is very true. Or you can leave it in the likes of daycare or get one of the dog walkers to come in and walk them. Dogs are companion animals.
Okay, dogs is all we're talking about. So Holly, I'm really sorry you're not involved in this next
one. That's fine.
Cats. Tell me about cats.
Well, there again, lots of people have fears that cats are going to wreck the carpet, wreck the furniture, you know, wee on the floor, and of course it'll go through into the floorboards. So yes, there is a lot of situation with cats, and there's less control over cats because cats can go outside, go for a wander, cause more problems. So absolutely, I think any landlord who's willing to take the risk of taking an animal does obviously need to be compensated financially if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
But it should be open for discussion.
And are you open to other things too? Like, I mean, I presume a fish tank is okay. Let's leave that one all right. But what about reptiles? And
well, absolutely. I mean, there again, it's down to what the landlord says you can and cannot take. We're happy for anybody to have a pet as long as they're responsible.
You never had somebody come in and say, here, you got to take my pet snake because I'm not allowed to have it.
We have. You can't have the rats. You can't have the gerbils. Right. You know, a lot of accommodation will say you may have, especially the county council accommodations, will say you can have a pet. But is a pet one budgie or two budgies?
Right.
Is it a Rottweiler? Yeah, is it, is it a tank full of fish? What is it? And this is where, you know, you've got to be very, very careful. And the only reason we're saying this is we just don't want people going out, getting an animal, and then having to get rid of the animal at some point in the future.
Well, on that note, Holly, have you ever had to go out, or did you ever get an animal and worry about what might happen in the future in terms of getting rid of it? Not because of a landlord, but because of the past of the dog. I mean, like, do you know, like, why these, you know, like, if there's mistreatment going on, maybe they're scarred for life and don't want you near them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing for me is that all my dogs are quite small. Like, they're much smaller than your dog, but I don't know, I think I'd be quite nervous if it was a bigger dog. Like if it was a Rottweiler and they were saying to me, oh no, he's fine, he's great with kids and everything, you'd be worried that something might trigger them, like a firework or a loud noise would make them snap. But I think I've never had that worry with my dogs because we got them from when they were quite young, so it's almost like they didn't really remember.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, they give you a brief in a lot of those kind of shelters and they say, this dog might not be great if you have young kids, or this dog might not like it if you live somewhere that without a secure back garden, because Molly used to run away all the time if she heard a bad noise. But yeah, no, I think the only thing that would worry me is if I was to travel and move, because there's certain dogs that can't travel. Like, I think pugs, you can't bring them on airplanes because they're breathing. Is that true?
I don't know. I haven't heard
that
before.
It's a bit risky, you know, right. Some of them, because they have struggled breathing anyway. But yeah, no, that would be my only concern. But I've never worried about my own dogs really kind of going with
Matt. But like, can you imagine if, like, the Lucan story I mentioned earlier on, that you had to move and give up your dogs? Would that be like...
I don't think I'd be able to do it. Yeah. I mean, I know people are in a position where they have to do it. They have to move house. They've got their kids. They've got their family. This is where they have to live. But it's really difficult because they become part of your family. And especially if it's been in the family for over 5 years. And
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine that.
Budgies and canaries and other sort of winged creature peoples. Like birds. A lot of birds can make an awful lot of noise.
They can make an awful lot of noise.
And that really can annoy the neighbours big time.
And that's exactly what landlords and people are generally worried about. And it's all part of this whole thing that you've really got to take into account the animal that you get. Is it suitable for where you're living? Is it suitable for where you're going to be living? If you are in rented accommodation now, there's no guarantee the next rented accommodation is going to allow you. Or even if you have to move home back to your parents, are they going to let you take the animals home with you?
Do letting agents, the kind of the middlemen people, if you like, do they do enough to, if you like, I don't know, to find out if pets can be considered?
I don't know. I don't think they do. I think people just immediately will say no. And I think that's what's unfair.
See, one of the things is if you look for permission for anything, the answer is always no.
Absolutely. And that's it. And I think people just do need to sit down and they're missing out. Landlords are missing out on an awful lot. And it is quite unfair because pet owners on the whole are very caring people.
And if the landlord does say, should you get that in writing as quickly
as
possible?
Oh yes, absolutely. And to be honest, you should really be looking for a list of rules and regulations as to what is allowed with your pet. Is your dog loud? in the house, in the living room, upstairs. You know, because you don't want the landlord coming to you and saying, hang on a second, I see dog hairs upstairs in the bedroom when I was checking it. I don't want the dog upstairs. So I think it's good for everybody to have ground rules. And you should do this when you get an animal into your house anyway. There should be ground rules for the family, for the kids.
Okay, I'm going to mention ground rules for abandoning pets, which really, like, you shouldn't abandon pets at all. But if there are ground rules, they should do what these people did and leave it with you.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we have a huge waiting list of people looking to get rid of animals. And what we'd always say is, don't leave it to the last minute. We understand there are people who are literally turfed out or have to move out straight away. But what really hurts us is when people come to us and say, we have an animal, we're moving out of our apartment tomorrow. And we're like, well, how long have you known? Oh, we've known for months. We just couldn't find somebody to take the animal. They haven't really tried. They've left it to the last minute.
Is there a perception that somebody who has an animal and wants to rent a place is possibly, on paper anyway, more responsible, a more responsible tenant, or is that?
I would think so. Yeah. I think the majority of pet owners are more responsible. And especially if they are actually making the effort and looking for accommodation that'll take their pets, and they're not telling lies.
Well, there's a few here. I'm just going to try and read them straight through. It says, hi guys, I got 4 dogs, 3 rescue, and oh my God, I think I would die without them. Dude right at this moment is curled up beside me. Lou and Molly is out. Annoying Lola, my brother has a Springer. Is that a Springer? Probably, I don't know. Who I swear even his son will tell you how much, this guy's been out last night too, how much a fantastic relationship they have. Viva the puppies, because all dogs will bring absolute joy.
That's true.
They do, don't they? I've got one fantastic. I am a landlord and I do not allow pets on my property. It's a no-no and that's fine.
That's fair enough, yeah. Well, he may well have had a bad experience. So, you know, that's fine. But what I would say to him and maybe others is, you know, the question would be, if somebody offered you a larger deposit, would you consider taking the animals if they had their own contract for the animals?
Right. And by the way, always microchip, I presume.
Always microchip. That goes without saying.
Well, it's, so basically, like the boom in the rental market, the victims, the biggest victims are pets.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, during the whole thing, it is a big problem. And so many people get an animal because they think it's a great idea and they just don't think long term about it. And it is one of the things the DSPCA do. We're always asking people, are you in rented accommodation or not? And if so, we want to see proof from the landlord.
Indeed. Well, look, we want to see proof of the news. It's happening in 4 seconds' time. So listen, Holly, thank you very much indeed for dropping in this morning. And as in, like, if people do want to get a thing, oh, but they should go to somewhere like you because rescue dogs are great. Isn't that what you're saying?
Holly, exactly.
Ahead. Indeed, and absolutely. And Gillian Bird from the DSPCA, you can check it all out there as to what to do. They should go to you as well.
They should always come to us and check out our website. Absolutely,
all right. Brilliant. Listen, thanks both of you for dropping in on the programme this morning. Live across.